shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Welcome to this edition of Shooting from the Lip. I'm Craig Johnson and John Gaunt is here. He's going to shoot from the lip for the next half hour or so. And John, I reckon you've got some strong opinions. Let's kick off with Boris's address to the UK. He was on TV. What did you make of it?
Hi there, Craig. The first thing I've got to say about the address is, what's he doing with his hands? He's obviously had media training and been told not to point at all. But he holds his hands as if he's a magician saying, guess which hand the ball is in. It's just so irritating to watch. What did I make of it? I made that he wasn't in control again. I mean, it was interesting, wasn't it? He put up the Chuckle Brothers first, Professor Whitty and Sir Valance, Patrick Valance, a day earlier. And they basically came on with doom and gloom. And then he was coming on, and I don't know whether he was going to hopefully try and uplift us all. Well, he kind of failed, didn't he? And he didn't tell us anything we hadn't already heard in the Commons earlier that day. And the other thing I found annoying was he basically closed down hospitality. He basically wrecked the whole of the pub and restaurant industry and theatres and music venues and everything else, and didn't say there was going to be a package to help out those industries. Now, that's coming today, we understand, with Rishi. But, you know, why get a situation where people are going to be angry and worried and concerned? We're traumatised enough. We thought this was going to be 6 months. On the anniversary of that 6 month, we didn't get hope. We didn't get optimism, which, of course, is what Boris got elected on. We just got more doom and gloom and another 6 months. And nobody believes it's only going to be 6 months, do they? There was no light at the end of the tunnel. And slightly contradictory here, what I'm going to say, I actually think he should have imposed a much harsher lockdown this time. And I think we need to do it short and sharp and a shocking one. I think he should have done that right at the beginning. He was much too slow out the blocks back in March. And on March the 11th or 12th, when him and Jenny Harris sat there and said, yeah, Cheltenham can go ahead, the football can go ahead, and masks aren't necessary. Looking back, that was such a major mistake. And I'm not just saying this from hindsight. I said it at the time. You need to clamp down really quickly. The lockdown has to come in. It has to be harsh. And again, I think he's dithering and delaying. And I've got to say it, and I never thought I would say this, Nicola Sturgeon is a better leader at the moment in this crisis than him. She's standing up to the mark. She's apologising when she got it wrong. And of course, she has gone for a much more severe lockdown in Scotland. And you know what? Boris will be doing that by the weekend, because the measures he's put in so far, I'm afraid it's not going to stop. Those figures are going to keep on growing. That's my view.
So you feel like a harsher or a proper lockdown then is inevitable, John?
Yeah, it's absolutely inevitable. And as I say, Nicola Sturgeon, she's gone for that straight away. The only thing she hasn't done is she hasn't closed down the universities. I mean, I said about a week, 2 weeks ago, in either a Sputnik column or one of these podcasts, I said, you've got to close down the universities. Look, if all the lectures are being done on Zoom, you don't have to be in your university town. You don't have to be in that hall of residence. Do it on Zoom, stay at home in your social bubble. But no, instead, we got this idiotic idea that they all go to university. I've just been watching it on TV now. Oh, yeah, and you stay in your bubble with your new friends you've just met. Well, I don't know about you, Craig. The people I met in the first week at university, I hated by day eight, absolutely hated, and never spoke to them again whilst I was at university. So there's no assurance that they're going to all get on and be jolly. If it's all going to be done on Zoom, do it at home. And also, what happens in Freshers' Week? We'll keep it polite, shall we, Craig? But everybody gets drunk and everybody goes, and you know what? So, you know, it's the first time you're let off the leash, so to speak, without mummy checking you're back in your own bed at the right time. It was just an absolutely ridiculous decision. And so The students have gone back. So now it's University of Dundee, I believe. There's 500 cases there isolating. University of Liverpool, over 80. In Glasgow, it's hundreds of kids who are now self-isolating. Mark my words, this will now happen all over the United Kingdom. We should have said, stay at home. Why did they want them to go back? And now they're being told, students, you must stay there over the proposal from one of the so-called experts is stay at university over Christmas. There's no way a kid can do that. They won't even have learned how to make tuna pasta by Christmas. It's just nonsense. It's nonsensical. And you've got to wonder, you may agree with me, Craig, did they want the students back to make sure that they paid their rent either on their halls of residence or on their private accommodation? Because otherwise, Dishy Rishi would be dishing out more cash to landlords and universities. Maybe I'm being too cynical, but it seems to me to get thousands, not just thousands, tens of thousands of students on the march. So you bring somebody up from, I don't know, Liverpool, and they're going to study in Dundee, they bring the infection with them if they've got it, and vice versa. It's madness, complete and utter madness. And I'll go further. Schools. Why are schools open? Well, the answer is nearly 1,000 schools are now closed. Okay, we know they don't suffer with it as bad as elderly people, but where do they go after school? They go home, and they could then give it to their parents, or they could then give it to their grandparents. None of this has been thought through, none of it at all, and it's an absolute shambles. And I think we will get a draconian lockdown like we had before very, very quickly. I certainly think we'll go to Nicola Sturgeon's version of it in England very, very soon. Very soon. I don't know whether we'll get right to the Welsh one where, you know, you can't even go to an off licence after 10 o'clock. It is like living in the 70s again. They'll be getting the Watley's Red Barrel out next, won't they? It is like the 70s where you get kicked out of the pub. I mean, I remember this when I lived in Edinburgh. We used to go to Clark's Bar and you'd get booted out of there, I think, down at the bottom by Leith Walk, Dundas Street, that's it. You'd get booted out of there, I think, at 10 o'clock on a Sunday or 10:30 on a Sunday. Everybody would go around the chip next door, run by this little fat bloke who looked like an obese Danny DeVito. You'd get your chips with salt and sauce and you'd buy a load of tins of Tennent's. But then they stopped that. You couldn't do that either. And that's what they're doing now. It's going to be mayhem, especially with the dark nights coming in. It was okay during the summer. It's a bit like a holiday, wasn't it? It's not going to feel the same now. It certainly isn't.
Yeah. You touched upon there that the students being advised that they could stay at uni over Christmas. And I kind of want a prediction here from you, John, if that's okay. And you may sound like the Grinch here, but how will Christmas in the UK look like in 2020, do you think? Well, is it a case of Christmas is cancelled already?
I think Christmas is cancelled is just slightly too simplistic because I think it's worse than that. I think Christmas is going to be an absolute disaster area. I mean, if we're going to still have this rule of six, which Boris only introduced this week, and I don't know whether he's going to do a U-turn. I made a joke in my Sputnik column the other day. He's no longer performing U-turns. He's doing Formula One donuts. He's just going round and round in a circle, like a dog in the midday sun chasing his own tail. So I doubt whether the rule of six is still going to be there. I do think we'll end up where Nicola Sturgeon is, which is you can't invite anyone round to your house unless they already live with you. So Christmas for me will be me and the missus. We may as well just order a budgie. We won't need a turkey. Can we invite our kids round? Because they don't live with us. They live in different towns. One's in Oxford and one's in Stratford. So what can we do there? So I don't think it's just that Christmas will be cancelled. I just think it'll be blooming miserable, absolutely miserable. Now, I think there's a window, and I'm no expert, a window of opportunity that I'd rather take the pain now to get the gain later. So why aren't we just clamping down now? And I do think Nicola Sturgeon is right. I also now understand how they say it transmits more readily in a house because it's not regulated, and that's another reason why I feel sorry for the pubs and clubs, because I don't know what it's been like up there in Scotland, but down here, the pubs have been very responsible. They are taking your name and your telephone number, and they seem to be doing it in the correct way. There are some pubs where it's more youngsters. But see, I don't want to get into this, let's start criticising the youngsters. There's too much of that with Boris, you know, kind of divide and rule. This is affecting all of us. And so I just think we need to have clear messages, and we haven't had that from the beginning. And I do think a stronger lockdown now would play dividends in, say, 3 or 4 weeks. Why didn't he just say, look, we're going to do it for 3 weeks? I think that's what Nicola Sturgeon said. I can't believe I'm praising it. She said, and they're going to review it each week. That seems to me to be a logical, sensible way to approach this problem. And I don't want to come over as if I'm just slagging off the politicians, because I think all of them have got a problem with it. Whoever was in power would have a problem with it. But I just think now we do need some clarity. And Boris, stop playing to the gallery. Stop playing to that Westminster bubble. Listen to the people, because, Craig, some people will say John Gaunt's talking rubbish. Well, look at the YouGov poll. Was it 73% of people basically approve of Boris Johnson, what he's done now already with his limited lockdown? And it was a big percentage who wanted him to go even further. So I think outside of the Westminster bubble, outside of the political chattering establishment classes, ordinary people are willing to take some more pain if they're going to get that gain and if they're going to save Christmas. And that's what we should do.
And that seems to be a problem that we hear over and over again. Certainly over the past few years, John, whether it be Brexit or Trump or jobs, the economy, there is this disconnect between Westminster, the elite, the establishment, and your ordinary man in the street. They just don't get us. And now, John, it seems we just don't get them either, do we?
No, we don't. And then, of course, you've got the anomalies. A kid can't go and feed the ducks, or a group of little kids can't go and feed a duck, but some with 30 of his mates can shoot them. I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? And likewise, you know, if you get in a cab, you've got to wear a mask. But chauffeur-driven limos for the government ministers, no, they don't have to wear masks. I mean, I'm sorry, these things just do not add up. These are just funny anomalies we can pick out, but it just proves the policy isn't thought through. I mean, you know, I don't know, today when Rishi announces this kind of semi-extension to the furlough and pubs and clubs, is he actually going to talk about theatres? Is he going to talk about more relaxed rules for them, or indeed subsidy for them? It's that kind of thing. You know, Boris could have made his address the other night and then moved from there. And now we hear Patrick Vallance has got some trouble with some shares that he owns. I mean, we don't know the full details at this moment, but it is also a massive rumour that Whitty is on the verge of resigning. So, I mean, the thing's in chaos. Absolute chaos. But you're right, I don't think they listen enough to the people of the country. And the further you get away from Westminster, whether going south or going north, I mean, I do feel for people who live in Scotland. No wonder the calls for independence are growing and growing, because these people aren't listening to the people. And you know, this is what I worry about, that, you know, is this all going to end up in social unrest? Is it going to end up in riots? I mean, I don't agree with Labour, who automatically said, when he mentioned the army, to backfill, which is what he said, they immediately turned that into, oh, the military. Jonathan Ashworth, the shadow health guy for Labour, he said, oh, they, you know, it's military on the street and dada. It's not that. He's not suggesting that. However, you've got to wonder, if it starts kicking off, what would the military be used for? It all comes down to messaging. It all comes down to listening to the people and communicating with the people. And dare I say it, communicating with the people who pay your wages, you establishment clowns.
Absolutely. Now, let's take a look at Rishi Sunak. He has come up with more plans to try and save the economy. I don't know if save's the right word, but try and stave off disaster. The question that springs to my mind, Gonti, is who will pay for this? Because this bill is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, the point is, of course, he's putting off the budget, isn't he? So he said, well, when we are going to pay for it, it isn't going to be next year, it'll be the year after. I kind of got sympathy for him, because in a sense, he has to do something, doesn't he? He has to do something. But you're right, trillions of debt we're all going to be burdened with. Obviously, there'll have to be tax rises at some point. But I guess I take only just a small bit of comfort thinking, well, it's not just the United Kingdom. It's every country in the world. And the time for the kind of attacks on that side of it, the debt that's going to be caused, is not yet. Because what we've got to do at the moment is contain this virus. Are we ever going to get a vaccine? I don't know. But we have got to pump money into it, because the social effects of all those people being unemployed. You're just a young man, Craig, compared to me. I can remember the People's March for Jobs in 1987. I can remember when the Specials sang, "This town's coming like a ghost town." Yeah, I can remember when we had 3 million people on the dole. And I don't want to return to those dark, dark days. But I think we probably are. So I think what they're trying to do is try and keep people in jobs that can come back. Because remember, a lot of these businesses who have had problems, especially in hospitality, they're very profitable. They were working fine. It's just that something has come from complete left field and knocked them down. So I think some of these jobs are still jobs once the economy starts going again. But the problem is, of course, there are some jobs that are just no longer there. And let's just finish this on Rishi. I think he's got to take some of the blame. This isn't going to be popular either. Eat out to help out. I'll have a burger and chips, please, and a side portion of COVID-19. That's what basically happened. Eat out to help out seemed like a great idea. It seemed like a great way to stimulate the nighttime economy. But what actually happened, if you look at the figures, obviously it helped to spread COVID-19 again. And he's going to be remembered for that, as well as the eye-watering amounts of dosh that he's been dealing out as well. And again, I'm not being too critical, because at the time it seemed like quite a good idea, but we should have just kept lockdown. We should have just kept lockdown for another few weeks. And I don't understand. Well, I do understand. They were trying to get the economy going. There was obviously a moment where they thought, you know, the economy is more important than some more deaths, and the deaths aren't going to be as great. But now they've realised, no, we haven't got the stomach for that. And I think you've got to factor into this that Boris Johnson had a near-death experience, didn't he? So he's going to be scared of his own shadow. Can you imagine? He wakes up in the morning, he's got a slight headache, or he sneezes as he gets out of bed. I mean, I'm feeling like that. Some mornings I get up and I think, oh, I'm a bit snotty this morning. And then you know, normally you just go, oh, that's just a bit of a cold, it'll be gone tomorrow. But then now you think COVID-19, because Operation Fear works so well, we're all petrified, are we not?
Absolutely, John. And we'll continue on this theme in just a second, right here on Shooting from the Lip.
Shooting from the Lip.
Gonti's here, Shooting from the Lip on Spoonick. John, what a week it's been. I seem to say that every week to you. What did you make of Sir Patrick Vallance and Chris Whitty, their speech to the nation? Are you impressed by those two, firstly?
I've nicknamed them the Chuckle Brothers. To me, to you, to me. They've got an impossible job as well, because they've got to give the facts and the figures, and they are not meant to politicise it. It's becoming increasingly apparent that the politicians, though, are weaponising whatever they say. I wouldn't be surprised if Professor Whitty goes in the next week or so. If you look in some of the newspapers this morning, many senior Tories are now mumbling that the speech that him and Vallance gave the other night was an absolute disgrace. They're saying that these figures, which of course he said these figures for deaths, what was it, 50,000 by November. He said it's not a prediction. He did say that, but of course he then produced a graph, and they're saying that misled the public and have scared the public even more, and now there's cause for him to be sidelined. As I said, Patrick Vallance this morning, there's stories all over the newspapers saying that he's got some shares in a major pharmaceutical and vaccination company. That doesn't mean he's done anything wrong. He's bound to have had some kind of investments in those areas. That's his specialism. But obviously, he's got to make a statement. But I know how the news works. You know how it works as well, Craig, in politics. It's odd that that story's come out today, if you follow where I'm coming from. And then, of course, the tabloids. You've got The Sun now calling Whitty Professor Doom and Gloom and the rest of it. An impossible job they're in. If they went, though, I don't see how that would help matters at the moment. Again, the guy I've been impressed, you may have to remind me of his name, is the Scottish guy who's advising Nicola Sturgeon. I've been very impressed by him, because the previous woman, of course, went off to a holiday home, didn't she, the Kingdom of Fife, and had to resign. But he is very impressive. He's a brilliant communicator. He's obviously very intelligent and very educated, but he seems to be able to communicate that to the ordinary people. Vallance and Whitty It's a bit highfalutin, if you understand what I mean. Again, I've got to say, I think the Scottish Government are doing a grand job. I mean, the Welsh guy, who looks like an undertaker, he's Dr. Death, isn't he? I wouldn't take any comfort or succour from him. But certainly, I think, again, going back to the Scottish, I think they are. But so what did I think of Valance and Witch's press conference? Well, when you first watched it, it was a bit scary. Then you thought, well, actually, that's not a proper graph. But then you think, well, hold on a minute. They do know what they're talking about. And we've got more cases now than ever. Now, I understand where those have come from. We're doing more testing, which is not enough, of course, but we are doing more testing. And the deaths haven't gone crazy, but they're beginning to rise. So I understand the logic. And there's a lot of people out there who are basically anti-mask, anti-vax, anti the government, anti the establishment, who are trying to play a thing that, you know, this is just the flu, there's nothing to worry about. I'm not in that camp. Let me make it clear. I'm not in that camp, but we do need more clarity. It all comes back to the same thing, clarity. And indeed, it also comes back to, if we'd had a proper tracking system, this world-beating tracking system that Matt Hancock promised us, we might not be in the mess we're in at the moment. We were too slow off the blocks at the beginning of this pandemic. Not we, sorry, Boris Johnson. And then the fact that Matt Hancock thinks he knows better than the whole of Silicon Valley, yeah, in terms of developing an app. I mean, somebody should have slapped him down. He should have been sacked weeks and weeks ago. And then they employed Dido. She hasn't had a good record in years. And she completely cocks it up, doesn't she? And now there's a rumour, because Sir Simon Stevens is resigning as the head of the NHS, Dido is the favourite to get the job. As a famous social commentator once said, you couldn't make this up.
It's true. It just reeks of establishment. And you made a good point there about anti-vaccine people, people who don't believe in wearing masks. Do you have a message for them, John? What would you say to them?
I wear a mask because I'm a grown-up. Like, if I go to a funeral or a wedding, I'll put on a suit. I don't like wearing a suit, but I'll put one on. It's called being mature. The general consensus is wear a mask. It's not just a consensus. It's now the law, and you're going to get a £200 fine if you don't wear one. I don't necessarily agree with that, to be honest with you. But I wear a mask when I go into shops or when I'm in social situations, because that's only right and polite. No man is an island. You've got to act like society. But yeah, my message to the maddos, the real maddos who think, you know, it's Bill Gates and Bill Gates is going to microchip the world, you know, and did you know that Bill Gates Foundation gave some money to Witty's research? Well, that would happen, wouldn't it? Two and two does not make four in all of these circumstances, if you know where I'm coming from. I just want them to pipe down a little bit, really, because a lot of it is keyboard warriors and nonsense, because as evidenced yesterday, the police are going to arrest you. I don't like seeing that either on the streets of places like Bolton and £1,000 fines, but they're going to do it, even though they say they're not quite clear of the rules themselves. So I just think it's a bit pathetic. It's a bit like wearing a tracksuit to go to a funeral because, oh, you're so anti-establishment. It's absolute garbage. The only way we're going to get out of this is by all working together and not being an island. The problem is, of course, every time that Boris is not clear and concise and gives us clarity, it feeds into the conspiracy theorists, because it's like, what are they hiding? What are they hiding? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And just to go back to your point on the track and trace app, John, it's been world beating here in the UK, hasn't it?
So world beating that he keeps postponing it. And today it's launched as we speak. It's launched today and it doesn't work on a load of phones, slightly older phones. It doesn't work on certain brands of phones. And they knew this when they did the experiment in the Isle of Wight. You'd have thought they'd have sorted it out. They haven't sorted it out. It's just a nonsense, isn't it? It's just a nonsense, because I actually do agree with them that the idea of finding out who your social contacts were when you had the virus is the answer, because then you can isolate. The other problem, of course, is, and we've got to be honest about this, some people haven't been self-isolating. They've had 2 weeks in Benidorm or in whichever country they've gone to. They've come back. They know no one's going to check up on them, and they've gone back to work. And there really isn't an excuse for that, because I know some people have slipped through the cracks, but most people have either been on furlough or had loans or have had support. So there is it isn't all about the politicians. We've got to take some personal responsibility. But it's quite clear, and I don't really want to shock my neighbours, but it's quite clear some people don't give a toss about the isolation or the quarantine at all. You see, I would have just cancelled summer. Forget Christmas. I'd have cancelled summer and said, no one's going on holiday. I mean, again, Nicola Sturgeon saying that now. Don't book a holiday because you won't be going. That's what we should have done. And then, of course, on top of that, we did have the problem that everybody instead went to Cornwall and Bournemouth and places like that. And so we've still got a spread. I don't really understand why people couldn't just say, I tell you what, I'll save the money this year. It's an uncertain future. Let's not go on holiday. Let's just stay at home. And also, the people who have gone abroad, I've had enough now. They're bleating. Anybody who gets stuck in France or Spain or Turkey or whatever country tomorrow they decide to put on the list, well, tough t-. It's been quite clear you couldn't rely on the government for weeks and weeks and weeks. Stop bleating and get back to Blighty under your own steam.
There's a message, John. Good. That's proper shooting from the lip. This is what this show's all about. And let's get to Harry and Meghan, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Now, Meghan's got involved in politics. She posted a video message, and it looks like she urged Americans to vote for Biden. Does she have a place to get involved in politics?
Well, she's an American citizen, isn't she, or Canadian? So she's got a right to say whatever she wants, if she wants. However, she joined the royal family. We spent millions and millions of them when she married the Ginger Whinger. She's turned Harry from this war hero that we all quite liked, a proper prince. You know, I must admit, I preferred Harry when he was this hard-drinking, hard-playing, had a good time playing naked pool in Las Vegas with, shall we call them, party girls, to what he is now, this woke. He's the woke king. She's the queen of woke. And they've overstepped the mark now, haven't they? And I see the royal family have distanced themselves from their comments, saying that he's no longer a member of the royal family, so it's nothing to do with them. But this is going to cause a major problem. If Trump hadn't been so brilliant in his reply. His reply yesterday, when asked about it, or overnight, when he basically said, I feel for Harry with that woman. I just think, you know, yeah, okay, it's verging on the sexist, but who cares? It was right. It is the right approach. You see, because she married Harry, and it isn't just her saying it, he sat next to her. He has no right to involve himself in another country's politics. It's a disgrace. The only reason he's getting listened to, and the only reason he got his Netflix deal, of course, is because he is in the royal family. The Queen has stripped him of his titles, but he's then basically sold the Queen out, hasn't he? And he's sold out our culture and our heritage and our royalty to Netflix. I mean, do you think Harry would have got a deal? She's a failed actress, and what's he now? Of course he wouldn't. And, you know, who's going to watch these programmes? You're going to watch it out of some kind of morbid fascination with, you know, can they actually make any telly? I just think it's terrible. I just think it would be lovely if the British press just basically didn't talk about them again. It'd be fantastic. I think it's terribly sad as well that he thinks he can do this and, you know, allow his wife to do it. I mean, well, allow his wife? She's the Lady Macbeth of Hollywood, isn't she? Huh? It's quite obvious that who wears the trousers, and I'm afraid he's going to go balder than his brother because that thumbprint on his head must be really, really causing damage.
How long before they're divorced? Do you give it a year?
No, I never really gave it much time, to be honest. I don't know, mate. She's got a baby now. Got a baby. She's got a baby. So I don't know. I don't know. I think they'll have another child. But how can it last? I don't know. Listen, I wish them well as a young couple with a child. They want to live their life, get on with it. I thought that was the deal. But actually, they're not. They're using their royal status, even though they haven't really got it anymore, to make billions of dollars. And I think that's wrong. But also, it's the best present for the election for President Trump, isn't it? Because can you imagine somebody in the Midwest? Hey! Have you seen what the royal family have said about Trump and that we should vote for Biden? It's just going to be a vote winner, isn't it, for him? So I think Trump is in a good position with it. He's going to win the election anyway. I don't know why the woke brigade can't understand this. And the more they bleat, the more they're going to hand him the victory. So I think it's a terrible situation. I just think they should both shut up. We should stop talking about them and they should disappear.
Okay. And on that, John, we are going to disappear. Thanks for shooting from the lip today on Radio Sputnik.
Shooting from the lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.